2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome to the Phoenix edition of Tacos Fast 40. As always, we are brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Sign up today using the link in the description to gain access to the cheat sheet that I'll be referencing through today's podcast, along with all sorts of other tools, including the Domination Station Lineup Optimizer, the only optimizer in the industry to take Dominator players into effect. That's going to be important here at Charlotte with 500 laps of domination points to go around. You're going to want to lock at least one or two dominators into every single lineup this week, so to check out that optimizer and all of our other tools for each and every daily fantasy sport there is, come check out DFSArmy.com. On sign up, use promo code TACO for a lifetime 20% off. We've also got the NBA simulation model is finally live this week for NBA, and that's a really cool tool because instead of giving you a projection, it gives you a large range of outcomes, tells you how often each player hits certain value benchmarks. Really awesome for separating your cash and GPP plays. So just another thing to come check out. We've got it rolling over here. We're over 1,000 members strong now in the DFS Army Slack chat, so you definitely want to get involved there. It's a great community with no trolls or anything like that. Just a fun place to be where we all help each other build stronger lineups. So let's get into this Phoenix race, the final race before the championship race at Homestead, Miami. This race was won by Ryan Newman back in the fall due to some clever pit strategy. He's always been a guy that finishes in the top 10 over and over and over here. But he was finally able to use that positioning to get him into the chase. However, he is no longer in the chase. We are down to our final eight drivers. Three of them have locked a spot in the final four for that championship race. And those drivers are Martin Truex Jr., who has qualified on points already. Him just having a dominant season. He doesn't even need to do well here. Last week's winner, Kevin Harvick, who just absolutely dominates this track. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. And Kyle Busch, the Vegas favorite to win this race here today. So those three drivers will have, they won't have the pressure on them. They are not going to get eliminated like, four of the other remaining five drivers. But with Martin Truex Jr. having such a large playoff point lead, you've got to figure that Harvick and Kyle Busch are almost approaching this race as a must win. Because those five playoff points are going to be absolutely massive. They want to make sure that they have a shot to dethrone the king of this season so far, Martin Truex Jr., in that championship race at Homestead, especially if a guy like Jimmy Johnson squeaks through, with that being his track and all. And on to the other four drivers that are on the bubble, the outside looking in. The pole sitter for this week, Ryan Blaney, still alive at minus 79 points. Keselowski is actually the bubble sitter. If it were to end right now, he would actually advance. He's 57 points behind Martin Truex Jr., 20 points ahead of Ryan Blaney, and 17 points ahead of Denny Hamlin, who is just right ahead of Ryan Blaney here. And he will be starting outside of the pole in the second position this race, so that should make a very interesting dynamic to begin the race with. And lastly, you have your two remaining Hendricks drivers, Jimmy Johnson and Chase Elliott, at minus 106 and minus 108 respectively in the point standing. So they are in must-win situations. And Jimmy Johnson has been there many, many a time before. But Chase Elliott, he has never won before, so it's a little bit more difficult for him, but he's had success here. Maybe he can get his first career win right before his first career championship. That was a, as a Chase Elliott, Bill Elliott fan here myself, that would just be my wet dream, but I really doubt that's going to happen. Let's just go on through this field here. We might as well start out of order a bit with Kevin Harvick. It's just very important to note that this man is unstoppable here. He has been stopped over the last two races in a sense. He hasn't dominated like in the previous six races before that, where he finished second one time in the fall race of 2015. But outside of that, all wins. Four straight wins from 2013 to 2015. The dude's a monster. His average driver rating here is 134. That would be 25 higher than anyone else in this entire field. He absolutely dominates Phoenix, and he dominates it harder than pretty much any driver dominates any track. You could possibly argue that Jimmy Johnson at Dover or Homestead is kind of similar there with his ridiculous numbers at those tracks, but Kevin Harvick is just a monster at Phoenix. He has this track down to a T. I really should talk about the track a little bit here. This is a pretty flat 1 mile track. We haven't driven here since I think the second or third race of the year. 500 laps for this race, so dominators are going to be just essential. And the interesting thing about this track is it probably is one of the lowest DNF rates of any track, right around like 15 to 18%, depending on how far you look back. Very, very low compared to a lot of other tracks that are in the 20 to 25% mark. So as we look back in our positional scoring summary, you can see drivers starting first through fifth average 50 fantasy points, and then the 6th through 10th starting position is right there at 35, 11th through 15th, 32, and then a steady drop-off into 16 fantasy points per race for the 31st through 40th positions. They both have the same number there, those spots. You really don't want to start anyone starting farther back than 30th. There's no one that qualified that well this week. Maybe a few guys you could have some sprinkles on, but the problem with all of the scrubs this week is that there's not an attrition rate. They're not going to be passing too many guys. If you look back at the last race here, there was only one person that scored negative fantasy points. That was Matt Kenseth, who had an issue about 190 laps through the race, finished 37th. And then two races ago, you see Austin Dillon and Martin Truex Jr., who he actually didn't do bad because he started last to begin with, but he ended up crashing along with Austin Dillon there. But only having two guys fall down, that's not bad at all. And most races look like that, with only one, two, or three guys failing to finish outside of, you know, like the bottom feeders or whatnot. That leads to that very, very low scoring from the 30th and back spots. There seems to be a little bit of a sweet spot from the 21st through 25th starting position, 28.5 average fantasy points, and 40% of drivers starting in that range hit the 30 fantasy mark, or 45%, my bad, 45% hit the 30 fantasy mark, as were drivers starting 26th through 30th, only 28% hit that mark. 30th and back, it goes down to around 10%. And you really want, you don't want anyone on your roster scoring less than 30, unless it is a super punt coming through with like 20 some points, but that's just not going to happen here. Knowing all of the guys starting in the very, very back are going to finish in the back several laps behind. If you look at the average laps finished, it can also be pretty telling. If you start first through fifth, you average about 302 laps finished. If you start 31st through 35th, you average 279 laps finished. The guys in the back are just going to drop off. There are actually several very bad drivers in this field. You've got Greg Alding is taking a breather this week. So the scrubs this week, quite a bit of them. David Starr, Derek Cope, Joey Gaze, Jeffrey Earnhardt, Kyle Weatherman, DJ Kennington, and then to a lesser extent, your guys like Corey LaJoie, Cole Witt, Matt DiBenedetto. Those guys aren't good here. Those guys are going to finish as the bottom 10, several laps down, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 laps down. You don't want to use any of them. As we go through the field, I'll pretty much skip them at the end because they're not important at all. Maybe, I've tried this before, Derek Cope starting 40th. Maybe, just if everyone else crashes, but his car is crap, the 00. It is, I think last time it finished like 60 laps down, like 5 miles an hour off the speed. It was not good. You just don't want to do that this week. We did it last week with Greg Alding, and 21% of people in GPP did the same. And he ended up finishing last, and you just had to expect that out of Greg Alding. He loves to crash, but for most of the race there, he looked fine. It was just in a better spot to play a guy like that. But this week, with how the value works out, without them being all those expensive guys you have to pay for starting in the very back, and with Martin Truex Jr. just being way too expensive to even pay for this week, you're going to be able to fit your lower six, 7K kind of guys in there as your value plays and go three stud, three values. That lineup is going to work so much better than the four stud, one value, one super punt kind of lineups that we were rolling with last week. As you make lineups, you're just going to see that's how it's going to work out this week. Because your core is going to be cheaper players in the $8,000-$9,000 range instead of having to pay for those $11,000 guys. So, moving along the field, I'm going to go by salary this week, just because, I've been going by starting position, but I think going by salary will help with determining these different tiers of priced guys. You're starting off with Martin Truex Jr., who is finally appropriately priced for a 1.5-mile track at $11,300. I know he's been super dominant this year, very good in the practices, second, fourth, and fourth. But his average driver rating at Phoenix is 86.6 since 2013. No finish better than 7th place. No lead laps. Average of 4 fast laps per race. Eek. I mean, I buy the narrative that it is his year this year, but he doesn't need to win this race at all. He just needs to participate in this event. And he goes on to next week. It's not going to really matter. He will be racing for the win, obviously, but I just don't think he's going to be in position to do that. Just historically, he has been crap here. Now, he has overcome some tracks this year that historically has been bad at, like Bristol. So I'm not completely off of him. His average driver rating on the year is 7 better than anyone else this year. He has just been absolutely dominant, but it's just the fact that all of his dominance has come from his just utter sheer dominance of the 1.5-mile intermediate tracks. Here, he just doesn't need to... I don't really see much of a path to him making value here at $11,300, forcing you to have to play those super cheap guys. And with all the value in like the $7,000 range and whatnot, you're not going to want to have to pay for Truex. You'll definitely want to save $300 and buy Kyle Busch this week. He is the odds-on favorite to win. And if you look on the cheat sheet, if you look at the sample I collected from short tracks and flat tracks, so mostly that'd be your Loudon, your previous Phoenix race, through Bristol in there, and Martinsville is actually probably the closest to this track, along with Loudon. Loudon's also very similar, and it's the same size. So when looking at that, you see that Kyle Busch is far and away the best this year. 125.8 driver rating. That is over 20 better than anyone else. He averages 119 lead laps in these tracks, and it's every single one of these tracks that he is just dominating and leading laps on. Last week was the first week in like a dozen races that He did not lead a lap because he got into that trouble lap one with Keselowski, and hopefully that bumps his ownership down along with him hitting 11,000 here. But I don't know. He looks like a very strong play here. Probably going to be the highest owned driver outside of Kevin Harvick. He's finished third, second, fourth, and fourth in his last four races here. Averages 27 lead laps, 16 fast laps, which isn't that impressive, honestly. But just this year, he has been the man at all things short track racing. And with Truex kind of out of the way this week, you've got to lock him in for some lead laps. He'll be starting eighth, and that gives him plenty of place differential opportunity. And that combined with his very high likeliness to lead laps makes him a very strong cash play, a great core play this week. Practice time's pretty good, about the same as Truex, 4th, 6th, 2nd, 3rd and 2nd and 10 lap speeds. You gotta love him, he's in a very good spot here. If you're gonna pay up for anyone, it's gonna be him over Truex. And I think that ownership will keep Truex kind of in Kyle Busch's range, but I do believe he's going to drop down to about the 25% mark, with Kyle Busch sticking around the 40% mark with his history here. And you know, I'm pretty sure that most of the other people playing realize that Kyle Busch is just the man anything short racing right now. And he was faster than Truex in final practice, and that always bumps up ownership a ton. Kyle Larson has not looked the greatest in practice. He has yet to crack the top 10. Or, well, he was just in the, just around the outside there. 10th fastest in first and second practice, down to 12th fastest in third practice. But he was the second fastest in 10 lap speeds. He's finished very well in the last few races here. Second and third place finishes. But he has yet to dominate. Averages less than one lead lap per race. Only five fast laps per race. It's not great. Driver rating of 92. He's kind of fallen off ever since getting knocked out of the playoffs. Like, he's just kind of been coasting. I know he made... he has led some laps and whatnot recently. But I just definitely see him getting overshadowed by Harvick, Kyle Busch. I mean, starting third, perhaps he gets around Hamlin and Blaney to start. I could possibly see that happening. He has very good early run speed, but I don't see it lasting. He's probably going to work his way backwards after stage one. You kind of seen him doing that a lot recently. He kind of burns out his tires early, especially at such an aggressive track, small, short track racing. Yeah, I prefer him on steeper tracks for sure, where he can ride the outside. You're not going to want to do that at Phoenix. Kind of a one-lane track. And with only one real shortcut, which is, you know, the shortcut. And, you know, that's pretty aggressive and kind of wears down your tires a little bit, taking that thing all the time. And it doesn't even really help out unless you've got a guy that you've just been trying to get around for a while. Larson, I don't know. I'm not terribly bullish on him, but I think he'll be a lot lower owned than a lot of your studs up here, because Harvick is going to overshadow him hardcore. And Kyle Busch will kind of do the same. I see him being an avoided man in the shadow of the man. And let's talk about the man, Kevin Harvick. If you look at the historical performance tab on the cheat sheet and just sort it by fantasy points, you see Kevin Harvick, 182. Kevin Harvick, 158. Kevin Harvick, 153. Kevin Harvick, 135 fantasy points. I mean, if you fade that, you lose. You lose everything. You lose your 50-50s. You lose GPPs, everything. You don't win any money if you fade Harvick on, like, 80% of these races here. With lead lap numbers of 260 laps, 220, 224, 139, 70. And even when he only led 70, he had about as many fast laps. Scored 103 fantasy points. You need him to win. Driver rating, just disgusting. 150. Perfect. 150. 149.9. You gotta wonder if that irked him a little bit. 140. 144. 140. The dude is perfect here. He's the man. He is just the man. Hopefully, somehow people forget to roster him, but I just know he's going to be the supreme chalk. You're going to need to do more than just play a bunch of Kevin Harvick to have success this week. It's just kind of the two fastest practices are going to be the thing that makes his ownership just unbearable this week. It's going to push him past like 60%, I think. I mean, when practice times are on Saturday and people can look at them, you know, like right now, and I can make a podcast after final practice for once, man, people see those, or not only one, but two practices, the two final practices, Reese the fastest. Oh my gosh, his ownership's going to be insane. But just you can't fade it. This is, of all tracks, this is like the last track where you want to fade a stud, especially someone that just consistently leads so many laps and is coming off of a win, has been leading laps recently, hasn't had a lot of the problems that he had last year during the chase. He's the man. I kind of want him to win championship here. With all the guys in his generation retiring, this would be a pretty good spot for him, honestly, especially with Jimmy Johnson looking like he's on the outside looking in here. You know, let's move on to Jimmy Johnson. There's not much more to say about Harvick besides play him. He's just not been there recently, obviously. He hasn't been dominating. He hasn't been pushing the top five. He looked decent last week in spots, but obviously he's just not the driver he was before, and it's not entirely his fault. It is, well, I don't really want to say Hendricks, it's their fault. Like, I mean, Elliott's looked really, really good this year. It's just, you know, his car just is not as fast as it's been years past. He just hasn't had the speed. And this week he looks like he has a little bit of speed, at least long run speed, which is what Hendricks is known for. He's fastest in 10 lap speeds for the final practice, fourth fastest in the second practice. He's going to be very, very low owned, just right underneath Harvick. But he is starting 12th, and that has redeeming value there. He could possibly be in a winning lineup if he moves up to like third or something. Or the magic could be there once again this year, and he pulls off a miracle win to go out with 8 championships or something. That would be a very good retirement spot right there. But I just don't really see it coming from Jim, or the Jimsta. At short and flat tracks, he's been all right. Net Phoenix, he's been all right. No wins in the past 10 races here, but a few good top fives, some crashes, just a mixed bag. On to Keselowski, 9,500, starting 16th. Very low starting spot for him. Has not looked good in practice, but kind of got it around in third practice. He was 21st fastest in second practice, but has jumped up into the top 10. Penske, historically, this is a tool that I added to the positional scoring summary. I added a scoring summary by racing team, and obviously Stuart Haas is going to look the best at this track with Harvick being insane. But Penske actually by far leads the most laps finished. They haven't really had any crashes here. If you look at Blaney, Keselowski, Logano, they've kept their nose clean at this track, which you don't see at other tracks at all. And with Keselowski being in a spot where he's in the lead by 20 points, he needs to keep his nose clean. You want to race, obviously, in the top 10, so you're not, you know, people aren't crashing into you, like if you're running around like 20th or so. Really the top 5, and he had a brilliant performance last week. Got in that trouble with Kyle Busch, went multiple laps down, fought back for a top 5 finish. He's been low-key really good this year, or this over the past like month, even though the speed has just not been there. You see in practice, it's the same as it's looked the last few practices for him, just not good compared to the other people in his price range. But starting 16th, he could easily finish top 3. He could win, certainly. He hasn't won. He hasn't finished in the top 2 anytime recently, but Logano did win this race last year, and Blaney starting on the pole. I mean, Penske looks to be in an okay spot. especially with them all getting it kind of together in practice. So I like him as a cash game play and a GPP ownership pivot. Chase Elliott, $9,300. He's never an ownership pivot because everybody and their grandpa likes to play him. You know, people always think of Dale Earnhardt Sr. as being the most popular driver by a landslide. And you see him on all the trucks when you go in the deep south and whatnot. And, you know, it is a culture thing. You know, Dale Jr., yeah. Or Dale Sr., the Intimidator. But I think people nowadays kind of overlook at how popular Bill Elliott was. Back when they did the, what I call the Dale Earnhardt Jr. Award, or the Fan Favorite Award that goes to Dale Earnhardt Jr. every single year. Back then, it never went to his dad. He only won it like one time. Bill Elliott won it like a dozen times. People love Bill Elliott. I love Bill Elliott growing up. That was my guy. And you kind of see that. I don't know, like, Chase Elliott has just been very, very popular, despite not having that win. You know, one of the top upcoming rookies, but he's just always going to be a very popular play. People love the guy. He's shown a lot of upside. He led a bunch of laps in this race here, I think it was last year, in the fall race. During the chase, he's been in so many spots where he's about to win. His name is Chase. I know it's not called the Chase anymore, but come on, his name is Chase. He's got a breakthrough, and he was fastest in first practice, second fastest in second practice, and then slowed down a lot in third practice, only 17th quick. But starting fourth, you could see him just based on how the starting three or who the starting three are. You could see him working around Larson. You could see him working around both Hamlin, certainly, and Ryan Blaney. So he could lead laps. He has dominator potential. He is definitely going to be marked a dominator on the domination station. And he could bring the domination this week. I really think that. I just think that he's going to be over-owned as well. People know he is a bubble driver in a must-win situation. He always just has very high ownership, and I think we're going to see him in the 25 to 30% range this week, and it's going to be very, very hard yet again for a Chase fan to get overweight on him in GPPs, because you just need so much Harvick and some other guys around here if you want to have some success. Even Keselowski right next to him in price, I like him maybe a little more than I like Chase, actually. But I'm not really recommending the fade. I mean, try to play as much as you can of him. It's just, it's really hard to squeeze guys like him in there. Matt Kenseth is not going to be a very popular play. $9,200. Going to be very low ownership. It's going to be in the teens. And he could lead some laps here. He hasn't done it anytime recently. But he's an old OG driver. Just looking kind of like he always does, qualifying in a bit of a dead zone, you know, practice times that are just okay, nothing great, but okay. But he's been sticking around in races. He's put himself in position to where he can dominate, and he's not like a Kurt Busch or a Jamie McMurray where you know he's not going to lead laps. I mean, if he gets the lead, he knows how to handle a lead. He is an OG, and he has no pressure on him out on the outside looking in here. Just a sneaky GPP pivot. Joey Logano, kind of the same way. People have been very off of Joey Logano. His ownership has been trash can. I think it was half of what Elliott's was last week, with him just being a few hundred dollars more. He won this race last year. He's also had many top 10 finishes when he's not crashing. 109 driver rating, which is actually the second best mark in the entire field. Behind Joey Logano, or not behind Joey Logano, obviously, but behind Kevin Harvick. So that's very interesting. He's going to be low owned. I love him as a GPP play. Starting in ninth position, he could move up to the top five, and I think that's honestly probably enough at his price. Denny Hamlin's going to take up a lot of the ownership, him being right underneath him for a little cheap, and him being very underpriced. So I see more people going that way, but his driver rating at Phoenix is 25 better than Hamlin's. And if you look at the short and the flat tracks, he's only 6 worse in driver rating than Hamlin so far this year, even though he's been struggling this year. And the win that he got at Richmond was on a mile-long track. I know that Richmond is a lot, has a lot higher banking than Phoenix, but is definitely worth noting. He is a very, very sneaky guy. Denny Hamlin, 8,900, starting on the outside of the pole. 5-1 odds to win. Right behind Kevin Harvick at 4-1, but for $1,100 cheaper. Starting around the outside, you could see him getting around Blaney and dominating. He dominated last week off of the pole a good amount. Is tied with Martin Truex Jr. and Kevin Harvick with the most, or for the most lead lap finishes, and is the best in. He is the best of all drivers when it comes to percent of laps raced on the lead lap. So of all of the laps raced in NASCAR, Denny Hamlin has been on the lead lap for 94% of them. It's 1% better than Martin Truex Jr. and 3% better than anyone else. So Hamlin, he's been a top 10 machine. Looks like a good cash play even though he's starting second. Maybe go him over Blaney in cash, honestly. Or just make two cash lines, one with Hamlin, one with Blaney. I really like that strategy a lot this week because the first good chunk of laps are going to be led by, I think, one of those two. Maybe Larson, you know, maybe a 10-15% chance it's Larson that leads to competition caution. But Hamlin, 3rd, 5th, and 8th fastest in practice, 3rd fastest in 10-lap speeds. Could definitely see him doing great, and even if he doesn't get those dominator points, you know he's most likely going to finish in the top 5, top 7, top 5. Very, very high percentage chance of that happening. Been very, very good at flat track, short tracks. He's always good at flat tracks. He's very good at cornering and things like that. Vegas likes him. Hamlin should be pretty popular, around 30% or so. But I like taking a good shot at him and maybe going underweight on Ryan Blaney. And then you just kind of hope that he overtakes him and gets that first huge chunk of laps that guarantees him value. I know he hasn't led as many laps this year as years past. 500 lead laps, 300 fast laps on the year. That's kind of for a JGR guy when you compare it to Kyle Busch with 1,900 lead laps, 1,000 fast laps, but still, nonetheless, I think it just position, based on where he is positionally at this track, I think that he's in a good position to potentially dominate and upset a bunch of the Ryan Blaney owners this week. But you could go either way. Clint Bowyer is starting 20th. He's kind of an interesting play because he has a garbage track history here, but a lot of that track history is when he was with Michael Waltrip Racing and he was just awful, finishing like in 25th or worst almost every single race. But since switching to Stuart Haas Racing, in the spring race here, he finished 13th. So a lot of his, you know, his Phoenix stats, you can just kind of throw them out. Look at the short and flat track stats from this year instead. His driver rating's 84, which is acceptable. He's very expensive at $8,700 this week on DraftKings, but starting 20th, and with decent practice times, he worked his way all the way up to 5th fastest in final practice. I could see him being a very nice GPP sneaky play, and people do not like to roster Clint Bowyer because they know that he won't dominate. But I think he's just in a good enough spot to potentially get some place differential fantasy point value here, and that's going to be enough. If he finishes like top 7, that would be good. And onto a kind of similar guy, overpriced guy, you know, is not going to dominate. Jamie McMurray, $8,500, starting 13th. It's okay, I guess. It's a decent spot for him to start at. 7th and 5th fastest in the 10-lap speeds, but you know, the lack of domination and with a track history that kind of suggests that he's just going to finish where he starts, there's nothing special about the play. Erik Jones is kind of in the same boat, starting 11th, $8,300. He looked good early on last race, and he finished 8th in the spring race here. He has a higher attrition rate than other, you know, elite drivers on elite teams. Only 21 lead lap finishes, only 78% of his laps are on the lead lap. very low number there. I don't really like that. He does love to spin. But at short tracks this year, you know, he did dominate for 200 laps at Bristol. You know, Bristol's a different a different challenge here, but it's still short track racing, that mentality and whatnot, the braking. So Eric Jones, maybe. At least he's not qualifying like fourth, like an auto fade. He was fastest in second practice, 10 lap speeds, but third practice he just fell off a cliff. 25th fastest there. So I don't really know what to make of him. I'm probably just going to avoid him. Ryan Blaney, starting on the pole, $8,200. Kind of fell off a cliff after that qualification, 20th and 10th fastest in practice. Practice 2 and 3 there. Okay, at Phoenix, has an 8th and 10th place finish here, but no domination, no lead laps. Under one fast lap per race. Kind of scary there. Starting on the pole, so he's going to garner ownership for sure. $8,200 reminds you a lot of last week with Kurt Busch, but unlike Kurt Busch, Blaney has dominated this year, 290 lead laps, but those are at 1.5 mile tracks. I don't know if he has what it takes to properly maintain this pole with some very hungry motherfuckers behind him, and Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson, who's always very aggressive. I know that once you're out on the lead, you can stay on the lead for 100 laps. We've seen Alex Bowman replacing Dale Earnhardt Jr. at this track lead 200 laps off of the pole when everyone faded him. He's a $6,000 guy. I still remember that. So you want Blaney. Don't fade him. Perhaps go underweight. I agree with going underweight on him for sure here, because his floor is excruciatingly low. Anything happens to him, he scores negative points. But he also has an incredibly high ceiling where he could lead 200 laps and be a must play. So don't fade that. Just consider the ownership. And in cash, again, I recommend making one Hamlin, one Blaney. Or maybe play them both together if that can work out. Because I think, you know, Blaney, like Hamlin, he can stick around for a top 10 finish. He's done that several times. Onto one of the plays that, you know, every week it's always a head scratcher, this guy, but Dale Earnhardt Jr., $8,000 at a track that he is spectacular at. He crashed here in the spring race of 2015. Other than that, all top fives and a win at this race in 2015. A good way to come back from a last place finish. 14th in the spring race, which is all right. He's not been garnering a lot of ownership. I think he's around 19 to 22% last week, somewhere around there, in a good spot at a track he's good at. And this is a track he's even better at. He is actually second in the field in driver rating at Phoenix. Yes, you heard that right. Dale Earnhardt Jr., second best in the field behind Kevin Harvick at Phoenix. He's the person that knocked him into that second place finish during that crazy streak of his where he won them all. I think his ownership's going to be kind of lowish. 15% sounds about right, starting 14th. We've seen him just kind of like slacking off first stage or two and then really kicking it into gear later in the race. You're like last week, out of nowhere, he was just riding in third place for quite a bit. So he has the upside here. And you know what? If you believe in magic, the dude could win. That you say it every single track. It's like, maybe he'll pull off one here. But I could kind of see it, just because this is a track that he's very, very good at. He's always been very good at flat tracks, outside of his plate track domination. So Junior's in a good spot, very affordable at $8,000. Kurt Busch at $7,900, huge price drop for him. Not a very good track for him. At short and flat tracks this year, he's been all right. An 80 driver rating, but no domination whatsoever. You know, average running position of 15th, just okay. He's been good at Phoenix. He finished between 5th place and 7th place 6 times in his last 8 races, and the only other 2 times he crashed. So maybe you can expect to finish there. And starting 15th, it's not bad. And he's cheaper this week than he's been in a very long time. So Kurt Busch in GPP, there's no reason not to. He doesn't need to win, and he could, maybe, not likely, but maybe. Austin Dillon, $7,700. He sucks here. He sucks at these types of tracks. He's starting 21st, which is going to get him a little bit of ownership, but I'm not interested at all. I like his teammates a lot better. Daniel Suarez, $7,500. It's about where he's been. Qualifying top 10 like he's been doing. Just keep playing him like you've been doing. He finished 7th place in the spring race here, which is pretty nice, but he kind of feels like Jamie McMurray to me. Just like great value. Jamie McMurray, $7,500 at such a price. Yeah, if he finishes like top 5, that'll do ya. He has 25 lead lap finishes this year, 77% of his laps run on the lead lap. It's all right. I just don't, there's no chance that he dominates, and his practice times were very, very scary. 21st, 22nd, and 24th fastest. So outside of qualifying, he could not get it together this weekend and was heading backwards instead of forwards. So I see him doing the same in the race, going backwards instead of forwards and not being a very good fantasy play. Guy underneath him is someone I like a crap ton more, and this week will be very telling as far as the correlation between ownership and practice speeds, because Kasey Kahne, blazing fast in practice, third quick in second and final practice, should make for a very interesting play. 81% of his laps were run on the lead lap. $7,400 is the cheapest he's been in a very long time. He had been an $8,000 guy for quite a while. He has dominated this track before, back in 2013, 2015. So it's been a little while. He's been finishing in like the around like 20th place since then at this track. So kind of up and down history for him, but his car is just fast this week, and I don't want to ignore that. He's looked pretty fast recently overall. So he's one of my favorite value plays down there. Starting in 17th, I don't think he's going to get a ton of ownership personally, because that's just a high starting spot for him. But I think he can finish in the high teens, if not around like 10th place or so. We've seen him sneaking into the top 5 late into races how many times this year? I mean, he's been doing a lot better than his salary would imply. And if his ownership isn't going to be through the roof, then I love him as one of my favorite value plays, especially with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. right underneath him, who is certainly going to be stealing tons of ownership from Kasey Kahne. But Kasey Kahne's odds are twice as good as Ricky Stenhouse, 75-1 compared to that 150-1. And then you've also got Ryan Newman. 7,100 is another person you need to look at, defending champ here. So Kasey Kahne in a very good spot. Love him as one of my core plays this week. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is going to be very popular with people. He's not looked very good in recent weeks, and in practice he has just been meh, not great. Doesn't look like he has long run speed, but he's starting 27th, way too low for him. $7,200. Very cheap. His price has gone down now that he's been kicked out of the chase. Finished 4th in the spring, and outside of that 4th place finish, it's been tough sailing for him recently. This track, he has certainly put on his Ricky Stenhouse mask. Been one of the few people to crash at this track, but even back in 2015, 2013, 12th place finish, 12th place finish, 17th. Not bad. He could definitely finish top 20. And if that's the case at $7,200, he's gonna need to be one of your guys that you're locking in this price range. Kahne, Stenhouse, Newman. This is like a very, very nice little pocket of value. Yeah. So you're gonna wanna use like 3 of these guys and pair them with 3 studs, and that's gonna be a great lineup. Ty Dillon starting 29th is also going to be someone in consideration. This track, people are going to look at track history and play him. Starting 29th with his last two finishes, 16th and 15th. Yeah, everyone's going to say sign me up for that. I beg a little bit of caution here. Ty Dillon's ceiling may be a little bit lower than it seems to most people. He's had some very high finishes in tracks like Talladega, Daytona. I do believe he had a very good finish either Watkins or Sonoma, but like these tricky tracks. And this is a track where, first off, starting 29th, you want attrition rate starting so low, and you just do not get that here. It's terrible for that. So your studs are going to stay up front. You're not going to sneak into the top 20 as Ty Dillon. I really don't see him finishing better than like 20th, maybe like 22nd, 23rd, and that's not even going to get him 30 fantasy points. So I like Ty Dillon as a fade. People are going to see you starting lower than everyone else in this range. $6,900 is getting a little too expensive for him. And the 15th place finish in 2016, it's very important to note that he was driving Tony Stewart's car. It was way better than anything, than the car that he's driving right now for RCR. That was a full-on Stewart Haas machine. So, but he did look good in the spring race here, so you can't fade him completely. I just really do like pivoting to Newman and Casey Kane in this range. Trevor Bayne starting 25th. I don't care for it. Really bad 51 driver rating here, and that's without like crashes. He's just not great. Not too great at the short track. He's better than Ty Dillon, better than Chris Buescher as far as like people in his immediate range, but significantly behind guys like Casey Kane, Ryan Newman. $6,700 is not exactly a value for him, and starting 25th, he has a lot of the same problems that Ty Dillon has with, like, you know, the low attrition rate. So don't like him as someone I'd target very much this week at all. Chris Buescher is someone that I've been on a ton, but more at the 1.5 mile tracks. $6,600 starting 31st, and that's gonna certainly get him some ownership. Once you go past like the 29 and get into the 30s, that's when people go, ooh, place differential. But like the positional scoring summary just lays it out very clear for us. You don't want anyone starting 30th or worse. Like, I'd almost uncheck them on the domination station, but in case there is like a crash or something wonky goes on, like the Xfinity race just had a crash in the first lap. So you never really know. You don't want to completely uncheck Buescher, but I strongly recommend going underweight on him. He has not raced well here in his three races, 27th, 32nd, and 30th. Ugh. Driver rating of 40. That's like scrub level. Overall at short and flat tracks, driver rating of 49 this year. Not good. Everyone underneath him is better. So Buescher, he is a trap play this week. Not fast in practice. 1,000 to 1 in the odds. He's a trap. I don't like playing him very much, just a little. Paul Menard, starting 19th, very sneaky, very similar to Ryan Newman, starting right with him. Kane as well, just this little pocket, 17th through 19th. Love all three of those guys. And if you look at the positional scoring summary, this is great. Guys starting 11th through 15th, and guys starting 21st through 25th. 10% of them hit that 50 fantasy point mark, as where 20% of guys starting 16th through 20th hit that 50 fantasy point mark. So much, much higher upside in this little range here from 16th to 20th. They also have a very good average running position and get significantly more lead and fast laps than guys starting 21st or worst. So I love that little range this week. It's just you gotta trust what the data's telling us here, and it's going to be super sneaky playing these guys like Casey Kane, Ryan Newman, and Paul Menard, because they're just going to go overlooked. And there's just not a lot of place differential points to go around, honestly, with the studs kind of staying where they are. So if Paul Menard starts 19th, finishes like 16th, 17th, which is definitely in his range of outcomes, he has three top 15 finishes in his last four races here, not counting the 2016 race where he just crashed immediately, or I do believe he had an engine problem. But a 73 driver rating at Phoenix, phenomenal. Always been a very good driver here. Him and Ryan Newman, put them together with like Ty Dillon and an RCI or RCR stack or something. That's a decent strategy. He was 19th and 18th fastest in the first two practices. Dropped off a lot though, 29th fastest in final practice. So a little bit of concern there, but his odds are 200-1, so playing him over Buescher is like a no-brainer, honestly. And more people are going to play Buescher than Menard. I can guarantee you that. So, love Menard as a play. Allmendinger, Danica Patrick, both of these guys. Well, I'm sorry. This guy and this girl. this girl who just announced her retirement, actually, after the season. Not a fan of either one of them starting 23rd and 24th. Meh practice times. I mean, Allmendinger is looking a little better than Patrick here. I would play him. Would avoid Patrick this week. Just not good at these types of tracks. And just no upside. No top 15 upside whatsoever. And Allmendinger, at least he has top 15 upside. And Patrick might gain a little bit of ownership this week. Her car is going to Eric Almirola. And I've been listening to some podcasts on the matter this week. Got to hear from both Almirola, Bubba Wallace, who was taking over Almirola's 43 Ford next year. And Tony Stewart also on the, I think it was the NASCAR Hub podcast. And Tony Stewart and Almirola were talking about how the relationship has been there for a while. They would always joke to each other. It's like, go up to Almirola and say, hey, when are you going to come race for us? And then the opportunity finally comes up. And Almirola is going to be racing the number 10 for Stuart Haas next year. And he is someone, if there was a dynasty in NASCAR league, he's someone you buy. You just buy. He's been held back by equipment his entire career. He's a very, very good driver, very good plate driver. But just looking at where he's at right here on this slate, $6,100, starting 22nd. No one's going to own him starting 22nd, but I think he absolutely stays where he's at and moves up. And this is why. 75% of his laps this year have been the lead lap. That's better than anyone, $6,600 and worse, by a good margin. At this track, he has finished. I'm just going to read off his finishes here. Just a very good track history. Very solid and consistent. 17th, 22nd, 13th, 10th, 19th, 18th, 15th, 19th. Just solid. Just, you know where he's going to finish. He's going to finish between, or even going back one race further, 15th. He's going to finish between 15th and like, or he's going to finish between like 13th and 18th. Right around there. And starting 22nd, that's fine. That's wonderful. He represents better value than Patrick, Reagan, Allmendinger, McDowell, just all the people in this range, like so much more value than the other guys, even though he's starting higher. His practice time's been acceptable, low 20s, and he always outperforms his practice times, I think. At Phoenix, he has a 70 driver rating. It's just phenomenal. Love him as a nice GPP punt. He's only $6,100, and that's just, he's the best play in the $6,000 range, I think. And it, the fact that he's going to go low-owned in GPP too, I love that. Ooh, David Reagan, surprisingly fast in practice. $6,000, finally breaking the $6,000 mark. Starting 26, which is just way too high for him. I'd end the analysis there, but it's worth pointing out that he's gotten a little faster each practice and broke the top 20 in final practice. So maybe Reagan is sneaky in like a Ford stack. So you take Keselowski, Blaney, Logano, toss in Reagan, toss in Almirola, you know, Ford stack it just in case. You know, sometimes certain manufacturers just have an edge on race day, and you know, they like to work together, pit strategy and whatnot. You know, we've seen it how many times this week compared, or this year compared to years past? A lot. But outside of that, I don't really like Reagan. McDowell starting 28th on most weeks. That would be pretty nice, especially at $5,800. But he's not, he's been just okay at these short and flat tracks this year. Nothing too special in his track history. He did finish 24th in the spring race here this year, but that's his best finish in the, I think, ever at this track. He's, yeah. I can't get excited about him starting 28th for the same reason as Ty Dillon. There's just not much room for him to move upward. You know, he's not going to get around a lot of the guys and girls ahead of him. Patrick, Almirola, Allmendinger. I don't really see him passing those kind of people. He's just kind of either going to stay where he's at or move backwards. And let's hurry up and finish this. Keep this under an hour long here. Landon Castle starting 32nd. If I'm gonna play anyone 30th or back, it's gonna be Landon Castle. $5,700. He finished 20th at this race last year, and he's finished top 20. I'm really stretching this stat. I'll just say it like this: top 30 in five of his last six races here. So he's most likely going to break the top 30. 21st fastest in final practice, and getting a little faster each practice. He's the play I like of any of these punts. He's the only one I would touch. Maybe a little bit of like quarter arcade action with Matt DiBenedetto, who has finished in the top 30, just barely in the top 30, like 29th in his last four races, and he's starting 30th. I guess if you really want to sell the Matt DiBenedetto play, I guess it's encouraging that there are like six or seven or eight guys behind him that are just legitimately way worse. But I mean, he practiced like 32nd, 34th. It's just not a track for him. Corey LaJoy sucks. way too expensive at $5,400. Cole Witt, not his track. No, God, his history here is ugly. David Starr, he doesn't have the equipment. Starting 36, no thank you. Derek Cope starting last. I mean, you have to play a little bit of Cope starting last just in case, but I mean, we've been through this before. He's crap. He has an upside of finishing like 38th. Gaze, Earnhardt, Weatherman, Kennington, just don't play any of these guys. Just uncheck them from the domination station. They're gonna finish like 30, 40 laps down. No upside whatsoever. So that will do it for Taco's Kinda Fast 40 on 11/11, which, come on, we gotta have luck. This podcast is on 11/11, for crass sakes. Even in Europe, it's 11/11. No excuses there. So, no matter where you live, hope you have a very good race this weekend. I have to work, so I have to listen to the first like hour or two, which kind of sucks, but 500 lap race, I'll definitely be able to watch the finish from the comfort of my own home with a beer in my hand. So it should be a very, very pleasant Sunday. Looks to be a good race. Very interesting. Not going to be many ties in GPP because there's so many different ways you can go. And only one real super chalk play. Kevin Harvick. You know, two mini chalk plays in Kyle Busch and Ryan Blaney, but really it's just Kevin Harvick to worry about this week. So if you just play him, focus on the other five guys on your roster, utilize the domination station, which, by the way, just like last week, I would recommend not limiting dominators, but rather telling it at least two dominators. That is my favorite setting this week, at least two dominators. So good luck with that, you guys, and remember, if you have not joined us yet, you can come talk to me in our Slack chat anytime you want. Just hit me up. I'll be at a Veterans Day dinner tonight, but I will try and answer your guys' questions in the bathroom or whatever. Just send me a message on Slack and join our team. Join our army at dfsarmy.com. Promo code TACO. Use that crap. Get 20% off for life. Now drop and give me 20 lineups, soldier. Have a good day. And God bless them veterans. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.